You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Most gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you, Lord, are our strength, and you are our Redeemer. Amen. It's interesting, the memories that remain with you, some easier to understand. They were significant moments or moments of transition in your life, and others are seemingly not as significant, and for whatever reason, they lodge in our memories, and they remain there. And I share a memory with you now, and it remains vividly with me. It was nearly 40 years ago, and yet, not only do I remember the content, but I remember the people. I remember the room and the light in the room and all the various details. And it's a memory from my freshman year at the Citadel. And the memories from my freshman year tend to be more formative than fond. And this is one of those particular memories. There were a couple of guys in my company, and they were guys that I tried to avoid. They were a couple of junior sergeants, and they were feared with good reason. They were Marine Corps contract guys and hard-nosed. And as I say, I tried to avoid them as much as possible. Unfortunately for me, they were my neighbors on the 4th Division, and so I was not always successful in avoiding them. And again, I can remember this. It was late in the evening, as Paul Simon would say, and I was in my room minding my own business, and Morris and Toomey came into my room, and they said, "Smalley, come with us." That was my invitation. And so I went with them, and they dragged me into their room, and they yelled at me, "Get on the corner of the rug." And this is the education I paid for, ladies and gentlemen. So they started yelling at me to get on the corner of the rug. And so I went and I stood on the corner of the rug, and they continued to yell at me to get on the corner of the rug. And I don't know about you, but in times of pressure and anxiety, I can begin to second-guess myself. And I thought, well, there are four corners, and maybe I should be on a different... They seem persistent, and maybe I should be on a different corner and should shift to one or the other. And I would love to tell you that it was bravery, but it wasn't bravery. It was fatigue, and I just thought, I'm done. I'm just going to stand right here on this corner of the rug, and they can yell as much as they want or as long as they want. And after I remained on that particular corner of the rug, the next word is a word that I'd never heard from their mouths. "Good," was the next word. And then this life lesson that I didn't ask for was about to unfold. And they said, "Smalley, you need to learn how to decide and execute. People are always going to yell at you, regardless of your decision. So learn to decide and execute. Now get out of here." That was again, it's funny now, that was the lesson that I didn't ask for and that was given to me. And it's funny, as I say, it remains with me to this day, in some ways kind of a silly moment, a silly memory, but it remains with me to this day. And I asked myself, because again, I've been thinking about it, and I thought, why would something like that remain with me? What is the significance? And what I'd like to share with you this morning as we begin to reflect on this portion of Mark's gospel and also this reading from Jonah is that it reflects something of the gospel. And that might seem a little strange at first, and let me unpack that a little bit, because certainly on face value, it's all the law, isn't it? I mean, I don't doubt the truth of it. What they told me was absolutely true, but the truth of it doesn't have the ability to produce the end result, right? We can hear a word that's true, but that truth, without the movement of grace, without the movement of God's power, truth just remains truth. None of us will disagree that when we decide and execute, someone will be upset with us. Again, on face level, absolutely true, experientially. But it did not necessarily, and you can just ask my friends and family, increase my ability to decide and execute this word of truth that remains with me to this day. But I thought about it. One of the things, and why this applies trust me, to the gospel, why this applies to this call of Jesus, which is given this morning, the call of discipleship, for people to come and to follow him. Simon Peter and Andrew and James and John, but of course, as we know, that word comes to you and to me as well. That, and it's not simply a word, it's an invitation to come and to follow Jesus. As I mentioned, those guys, my freshman year, they were one-dimensional. They were foreign to me. They were something. They were someone to be avoided. But interestingly, after that first year, as I began to get to know these guys, they were great guys. They really were fantastic guys. And what they believed in was the process. What they were looking for in me and the others was growth. I began to not only see them and know them in a different way, but I began to hear those words which they shared with me in a different way before. Again, before they were one-dimensional, and yet once I entered into a relationship with them, that which they said and that which they did had a deeper, greater, more significant impact upon me, because ultimately what they were inviting me to and what the gospel invites us to is freedom. They're inviting me to a freedom which I believe in my mind, and maybe one day my heart and my spirit will catch up, not to be worried and not to be driven by fear. Because I think what they ultimately nailed is the issue of the human condition, fear. Don't worry about what people think. Don't worry about what people say. And again, I believe that in my head, and one day my heart might join my head on that one. But how much of our lives, my friends, is driven by fear, if we're honest about it? How often is that, whether we admit to it or not? Fear can be such a powerful driving force for us. And what they were inviting me to was to step away from fear into something else. And the word repentance, and we hear Jesus coming today, and one of the wonderful things we see in the nature and the character of God, John has been arrested, and Jesus will realize that that which had happened to John will in turn happen to him, but yet he doesn't stay away, but Jesus comes into Galilee. He comes into Galilee because that is in the nature and the heart and the mission of God, not to avoid danger, but to step into it, not to seek God's own well-being, but to seek ours. And he comes into Galilee, and he begins with that message, a rather simple message. And it's an invitation. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And that word repent, as you know, literally means to change one's mind. Jesus invites them. We are invited to change our mind about not just our nature and character and our need, but more importantly, the nature and the character of God, whose property is to have mercy. And rather than trying to justify ourselves, rather than trying to secure ourselves, to experience the justification and the security which comes from God, which God will make available to us in Jesus. Rather than being people who are fearful, we are invited to be people who are free. And wonderfully, what we will see for Peter and Andrew and James and John and for the other disciples, and what we're invited to as well in this repentance and this changing of our mind, is an invitation to a life and a justification and a security that's not performative and that's not fearful, but is given to us. Jesus invites them to come and to follow him. And one of the things, as Mark's gospel proceeds, it's interesting, the disciples, as they are portrayed, they are wildly imperfect people. They fail repeatedly. They're often slow to see what is right before them. The outsiders often get it before the insiders do. They jockey amongst themselves about who will be the greatest. When Jesus tells them the means of our deliverance, Peter tells them, absolutely not. You have it all wrong. What we see wonderfully in the portrayal of the disciples in Mark's gospel and in all the gospels is they don't have it together. And yet, they're called into a relationship with Jesus, And that power and that grace of God will begin to work in their lives as it will begin to work in yours and my life as well. One of the things that is more specific to Mark's gospel, and you may notice this, we're going to spend time in Mark's gospel. In the lectionary, Mark will be before us for a while now, and I'm excited about that. But one of the things that is repetitive in John's gospel is Jesus is commanding people to silence when they're healed, when they're delivered. He'll command them to tell no one, and usually people don't listen, but that command to silence goes forth all the same. And often that seems peculiar, right? Because we're supposed to tell, not to keep it a secret. And one of the things about Mark's gospel is this. Why the command to tell them not to say anything? Well, there's a matter of God's timing in it, but ultimately the reason behind it is this. There will be a time for them to be people who share that message and who bear that message. But the reality is this, is that the disciples cannot begin to know Jesus, cannot begin to understand Jesus, cannot adequately represent him until they understand God through the lens of the cross and the resurrection. They cannot begin until they understand him through the lens of the cross and the resurrection, because that was so dramatically different from what they expected, from what the world expected. That wasn't the means of deliverance. That wasn't the means of security. That wasn't the means of freedom that they envisioned. But it was the means which God envisioned. And it's the means which ultimately gives you and me hope and security as well. We are invited to be people who find our sufficiency, who find our peace in a God who comes and seeks us. And Jesus is the gospel. The gospel, yes, is teaching. The gospel is truth. But more than that, what we see is that Jesus is the gospel incarnate. Jesus is the fulfillment. And what we're invited to is not simply an acquisition of knowledge and the ability to reproduce it. What we're invited into is a relationship. And it's in the relationships that we ultimately, that our fears cease. That love and grace and security grows. And so what I hold out to you and to me this day is a God who comes and who speaks to us in our fears, speaks to us in our uncertainties, who calls us to himself. For it is in him that we will find our peace. It is in him that we will find our freedom. And as we hear that this day, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you seek us and that you know us. And I pray for those gathered here this day, all of us individually and uniquely, as you know our needs before we ask. Speak to us, most gracious God. Fill us with yourself that we might know the freedom, the love, the security which you have for us, that we might follow you. And in following you, we might find that which you've come to give to the world, life. And all this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.